You're listening to Knowing Faith, a podcast of Training the Church.
This is Kyle Worley, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jen Wilkin and JT English. And we are also joined by the host of our sister shows, Adam Griffin, Chelsea Griffin, and Cassie Bryant of Family Discipleship Podcast, Elizabeth Woodson of Starting Place with Elizabeth Woodson, and Rebecca McLaughlin of Confronting Christianity. And we have on here Engineer Brad. Engineer Brad, the wizard from behind the veil, has finally emerged into the public eye.
Yeah, this is true.
Here he is in all of his glory. Hey, everyone. How's it going? How's everybody doing?
Great. Glad to be here.
Hey, Kyle. Wow. What's up?
I feel like, do you want me to talk about what I've had to eat today?
No, but I have heard that's a recurring theme for the Family Discipleship Podcast, that we get a kind of a daily menu itinerary of
I'm
your
working
life,
on
Cassie.
a new thing.
It's our most popular segment.
Well, Cassie and I run into each other regularly at a world-class bakery that just got established in Richardson. And I don't know if it's shameful how often we see each other at this bakery, or if it's like a good gift that God has given us that we now have a very local intersection point. But we see each other almost twice a month, I would say, at that bakery at this point.
I mean, we're there every Saturday, but we might just not see you guys whenever we go after soccer and we do some homework and get some pastries.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't love that? Who doesn't love that? Now, okay, let's talk first about this. This is what everyone wants to know. This is what everyone's dying to hear about. Rebecca, were you eating a salad before we jumped on here, or were you eating something else?
I was eating a not salad. In fact, I hardly ever eat a lunch with zero vegetables. I'm like a vegetables on every plate kind of gal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just ate zero vegetables.
Wait, you had French fries though, didn't you?
I did. And then I had like very battered, is that the word you use in America? Shrimp. We call them prawns. Battered prawns. I'm holding a prawn tail for the world to see here.
I'm going to translate that. That's fried shrimp.
Okay, now I know.
Would it be chicken fried shrimp?
Fried shrimp.
Because it took me years to realize that when my mother-in-law from Oklahoma says chicken fried steak, what she means is steak that is fried as if it were a chicken. No chickens were harmed in this process.
Yeah.
So is this like a chicken fried shrimp?
Rebecca.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But Rebecca, have you also had chicken fried chicken, which is its own special
How is that different from fried chicken? Did a chicken fry it?
A delicacy.
Just saying that chicken fried chicken. Yes, maybe. We don't know. We don't
what
ask those questions.
I've never thought of this before.
Well, when people say fried chicken, they mean bone in. When you say chicken fried chicken, that's a boneless piece of chicken.
Whoa.
Oh my goodness, this is such a weird world. Mm.
That's so good. Chelsea, that is clarifying.
Thank you.
I imagined it was a diner that ran out of chicken fried steak and they were like, well, we have some chicken and so we'll just do chicken fried chicken.
No, it's people acknowledging that chicken fried steak is delicious and would be just as good with chicken, but they don't want you to mistake it for like a drumstick or like the bucket at KFC with the thighs and the wings.
I think,
you know.
That's good.
Yeah, no one wants that confusion. I appreciate the clarity. Clarity is kindness.
Can you explain why the World Series only involves America and Canada?
What?
That's another thing I wonder about.
That's true.
Well, do you...
World Series.
Do you guys call
are there better baseball teams?
Well, let me ask you this. What do they call what do they call fried chicken in England?
Well, we do this crazy thing and we would call it fried chicken.
Oh, okay.
So not battered chicken. You got battered prawns, but fried chicken.
Doesn't battered prawn sounds a little like a victim in the seafood industry?
A prawn that got jumped on its way out of the ocean, just pummeled.
Exactly.
Man, people are so glad they're listening to us right now. They're gleaning so much wisdom.
Quality.
Oh, absolutely. This is what people come to the Training the Church Network of Podcasts is internationally known for, having banter that goes on far too long. That's definitely...
And then Jen cuts it off.
A part of our show. Except Elizabeth's show. Starting Place with Elizabeth Woodson. Elizabeth doesn't pull any punches. We're jumping right into a monologue. I mean, bang.
Praise God.
We're going right into it. Right from Jump Street. I mean, when Elizabeth sent me the first cut of the first Starting Place with Elizabeth Woodson with a monologue, I was like, you got to keep that monologue because it sounds so awesome. And it makes me feel like I'm actually listening to a podcast, where a lot of our podcasts, I feel like, start off and we're like, so did you watch anything funny recently? And then we're like, okay, let's talk about the Trinity for a second.
That's such a good impersonation of yourself. That's so bizarre.
Elizabeth, how does it you are the newest podcast on the network. Do you feel like if we're a network of podcasts, sister shows, do you feel like the little sister or just the one that like that where you're coming back to it and you're like, no, I don't feel that. I feel like I'm just you were waiting for the best to come last, so to speak here.
Yeah, you know, I'm a be on the humble side and say I feel like the little sister. I got 12 episodes, some of y'all have multiples of that. So I'm just here, glad to be in the room.
You're a model. Our younger sister is a model to us in the place of banter in the life of the podcast.
Yes, cut it
you're
down.
So good, and Elizabeth,
my name says, when I got to meet Elizabeth in the flesh, was it last year? I think it was last year. I've like followed you from afar, and then I met you in the flesh.
Yeah,
and you were so wonderfully tall. I'm like a relatively tall woman, so I'm always like, I'm always pleased in this. Yeah, so wonderfully tall.
I appreciate those words going together. Wonderfully tall. Yeah,
Kyle. That's right. That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, I would be curious, when we think about podcasting right now and we think about all of the podcasts that we're making, what's the part of the podcast process where you're like, that's the funnest part? And what's the part that's like, that's the least fun part of making podcast? What's the most fun and what's the least fun with podcast building?
I'll say the most fun is having a common, like a consistent touch point with you guys, Adam and Chelsea, who now were at different churches, but then also the larger team. It's a great excuse to get to see you and to like hang out and to catch up. That's really fun.
That's sweet.
Were you going to say something different, Chelsea? I feel like Chelsea's like the least, Chelsea's like the least fun
Chelsea's
part
like, that's
of
not
podcast.
It. It's seeing Cassie.
I can't get rid of you.
That's not it for me.
That's so funny.
I think all of it's fun. I think it's a good time, but Adam really sets me up at our house. So he sets up all the equipment and then he brings me water. And so like, he really just like pampers me in this. So I can't
come to this.
She
doesn't get water
and sit.
Most days. This is podcast days or days where she's allowed.
Only on podcast days.
Podcast days, the lady may have water.
Guys, I was going to say, Adam, can you come to my house and set mine up? Because that is my least favorite part. I feel like I always assume setting all this up is going to take about 90 seconds or so. And it takes longer than that. Like, sometimes I forgot to charge my camera. Brad, Jen, Kyle know that. Or like things aren't plugging in right. It's like a 5-minute thing, but that 5 minute matters because it's like you're trying to plug stuff in. And I don't know. I always get stressed out by it because I take it off. I put it all away and then I pull it back out anytime we do a podcast. And I'm not good with technology. I hate that stuff. But I'll agree with Cassie.
Adam says he says he loves it.
That's true. But if you start bringing Macy a glass of water, maybe she'll do it for you.
Yeah
maybe she'll do it for you. Right. but my favorite part is the friendships. I folks at our church don't really know that I do this, not because I don't tell them, but just like it's just kind of a different culture here.
Wait, you don't wear a Knowing Faith shirt every Sunday that you preach?
I don't have a Knowing. Do you have a Knowing Faith
shirt?
Yeah,
I just have a shirt and it just says Knowing Faith podcast on it. I wear it every Sunday that I preach, just so everybody knows, you know?
I've got the back tattoo.
Oh, perfect. So, there we go.
But no, I don't have a shirt.
Are people seeing that?
My favorite part is you know, moving away. When I moved away it was three years ago this week that I moved. And I was really, I think one of the things I was sad about was losing connection, not just with Jen and Kyle, but all of you guys. And so the fact that we kind of get to continue to dialogue and learn from each other, and I get to listen, I'm not on the other podcast, but I get to listen to them and continue to benefit. Man, that's just so much fun that just to see resources helping people. I'll say this, the podcast that most people at my church do know about is the Family Discipleship Podcast. A few weeks ago, I had somebody in our new members class say, hey, have you ever heard of the Family Discipleship Podcast? It's this great podcast. And I was like, I have heard of that. I didn't give anything away, but it's benefiting
people. I own it.
Our church.
That is my
they don't even know that. I'm just a lowly pastor. So it's fun to see resources that I have kind of tangential connection to and that I love supporting and being a part of benefiting people in my church. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of fun. And I think that one of the things for me that has been most interesting is I feel like this, everyone on here, part of it is that like we kind of went out in search of people whose voices we felt like were a good fit for this network. But one of the things I've always appreciated, I was just telling you guys before we jumped on, is that right now, content creation online, doing podcasting, blogging, social media stuff, it is by and large a cesspit. it's just a terrible bog of despair as a general norm. And I just love that our shows just really haven't fallen into that pit. And I think that as the more content creation I've done online, the more I've realized that like taking the task seriously without taking yourself seriously is a crucial part of that. And I think all of our shows are kind of marked by that, which is like, hey, you know, we're going to be talking about a really important topic. We want to take it seriously, but we're not taking ourselves too seriously in that process. At least, and I think
speaking of the cesspit, do you feel like we've avoided some of the pitfalls, Kyle? Some of
those pitfalls. We have. Yeah, there we go.
That's so familiar.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd be bringing that up.
Trademark, trademark.
Yeah. Yes, the lesser known of the Knowing Faith authors, Kyle Worley. a book. I do have a few copies on my shelf over here if anybody would like them.
My bookshelf could use copies of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I've got a copy. Someone sent me a copy. I'll be airing it out at just the right time.
I didn't know about this book. Kyle, the other day, we were interviewing the wonderful Esau Macaulay, and Kyle denied that he had ever written a book. Was he lying?
I didn't deny it as much as I did. I deny it because
I think
would
you
be
lied. Crud. <That's my head>.
Dang!
He said, "Do you have any books?"
Publicly.
And you said, "No."
Yeah, I don't broadcast it.
I didn't deny it. I just admitted I denied it.
Yeah. Well,
it's more of like a pamphlet. Yeah. That one circulates during a revolution of some sort.
Oh wow! Thank you.
Common sense.
Yeah. Let's move off that book or pamphlet, whatever it might be, essay, novella, you know.
Hey, I will highlight, if you go out on Amazon right now, there are three copies.
They're
left.
The ones on his shelf.
Only three?
I need you to know I'm buying it, Raya. Kyle's gonna get a notification in 5 minutes to go to UPS and ship me a copy of his book.
Put it in a bubble mailer.
You'll notice the seller's name is Wrestling Pastor. I wonder who that could be. Just me over here.
I'm buying this.
Could I record the audio book? I don't think anybody's done it yet, and I would love the honor.
Wow.
Speed reading it in different cartoon voices.
I could grab a copy and just do some readings right now for us, you know, but I'll hold off on that. I do want to ask Engineer Brad, who's here, and he's gracing us with his presence, and we're thankful for that. Brad, you get to dabble in the behind the scenes of all of these podcasts. Who are your favorite people to work with and your least favorite people to work with?
Wow.
No, I'm not gonna put you on the spot that way.
Which of us know where he lives?
Yeah.
I want to know who he has to edit the most. Like, who do you have
that
to just
is a
like
good question.
Redact our statements?
That's a great question. It is JT's breathing into the microphone.
you got so mad at me that I was like far away from it. So then I got self-conscious. I was like, I need to be closer to this thing, and I've got to be further away.
It's the way that you can notice on this call. Yours is one of the only ones that's pointing like straight up. And so when you talk into it, your nose is just over it. And so it's just a lot of breath.
But that's because if I tilt it this way, it falls. Remember when it fell?
I do. Yes. It almost broke my speakers. But yes, it was.
You know what's really funny is about 2 minutes ago, before Kyle asked this question, I had microphone envy. I'm looking at everybody else's microphone here. And I'm like, I want that microphone. That would eliminate all of my microphone problems right now. Let's just get me one of those.
Yours looks the same.
JT and Jen don't have the dorky headsets that the rest of us have. So I'm wondering about
that.
No.
They're not dorky. They're great. Honestly, you guys are all pretty easy to work with. Some of you are less technically
sufficient. Taking notes over here.
Some of you are less technically sufficient, but you always have good attitudes.
Wow.
At least when I enter the space. And so that's always helpful. But I don't know. I think right now, if I had to choose my favorite, it would be Elizabeth. She's been
surprised.
It always looks good, always sounds good. So
yeah, she does.
Yeah.
Way to go, Elizabeth. Producer's pet.
Brad, are you saving like a blooper reel? Are you making a blooper reel of all our edits?
You know, unfortunately, since we don't do this in person, I don't get as many as the, before the recording starts, there's a lot of conversation that would be really interesting for people to hear. But you guys don't hit record until you're ready anymore. And so I don't get as many bloopers. But I have released blooper reels on the Patreon, and it's mainly of Kyle recording ads. And he does he does a lot of bloopers. So if you're interested in that, I would head over to Patreon.
Oh man. Yeah, I probably shouldn't tell our advertisers, but man, I get frustrated recording those ads.
Yes, you do.
I'm like, cause I'll get a perfect read and then like the last 4 to 5 seconds, I'll blunder something and I'm like, oh man, got to do this thing from the top again. And then I start all the way over. Okay. Favorite episode so far, Elizabeth, for you this season, your first season, starting place, which one? We're not going to throw any guests under the bus, but which one are you like, man, that one just felt great. Like I loved that episode.
Just remember I'm sitting right here.
Yeah.
I mean,
outside of Jen's episode, of course.
I mean, obviously it's Jen.
Yeah.
Obvi. Yeah.
John Onwuchekwa, his episode on the Psalms and mm-hmm. prayer. First of all, he just is like the master of illustrations. He came up with illustrations on the spot that I was like, you need to take those and put them in a book because somebody's going to take those from you. They're really good. Like that's what people do. And so he was extremely pastoral, but so insightful. It was just a really good episode. So that probably is my favorite if I have to choose one, but I've had fun with all my guests.
I love that episode as well. And you're right. It was so rich. Rebecca, I'd be curious for you this season, if you're in front of Christianity, does one episode stand out for you that you felt like was like, oh, that was the most fun or the one that was most significant for you?
We interviewed a number of people I really love, like my friend Sarah Irving Stonebreaker, who was not a Christian when I first knew her in Cambridge and now is like such a faithful believer and a history professor. It fills my heart. So it's lovely talking to her. I think though maybe talking to Issa McCauley, because he just like preached so hard at us in the best way. So that was great.
Yeah, we're going to drop that one tomorrow as a surprise episode a couple days before Easter. So that'll tell the audience when we're recording this. It's going to come out much later than that. But yeah, no, that was my favorite too of our whole season. It was incredible. It was so good. So, so good. Don't miss that episode tomorrow, guys. It's coming out. You heard it here first for the actual host on the show. JT, what about for you this season of Knowing Faith?
You know, I really enjoyed our revisit of complementarianism, brothers and sisters. And I think it's at least our third, if not our fourth time talking about that broadly. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I'm proud of all of the episodes, but you know, that's how theology is done, is over the course of time, you keep learning, you keep finding ways to articulate meaningful truths in helpful ways. And I felt like that episode was the one where I felt like we really hit the nail home on that one in a way that I would have said we did with the other episodes in the past. Again, I was proud of those. But that conversation for me, I was just personally edified by it when we got off the podcast and mm-hmm. have had lots of people reach out and say that they found it helpful as well.
Mm. Mm. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jen?
That was a good one. I liked that we just framed it up as, hey, we're going to talk about brothers and sisters, because I'm like the term complementarianism is just sort of like, bah. And so it's like, let's just talk about the issue. I love that. But I actually, Kyle did his whole union with Christ mm-hmm. thing. And I am just mesmerized every time you talk about it, Kyle. And so I always just sit and learn. I feel that way about the Trinity with JT. And that's not the only things that you guys talk about that make me stop and listen. But those are the moments where I'm like, man, I still have so much to learn. And these guys, this is their sweet spot. So I would say in both of those cases, but this time, I would say in this go round, and I feel like we got a lot of feedback on it too. It was Kyle talking about union with Christ. Again, just to where I'm like, why did no one tell me about this for years and years? Why was I only told about a personal relationship? And then there's this thing that is so much bigger and more important. So yeah, that's probably my highlight this season.
In a world where kindness is scarce, find refuge in best-selling author Nate Pickowitz's new book, The Kindness of God. If life's disappointments or fractured relationships weigh on your soul, this book is your sanctuary. Experience God's unyielding love and compassion, offering healing to your wounds. Embrace kindness, find hope when you purchase your copy of The Kindness of God wherever fine books are sold. Meet your new favorite study companion. Immerse yourself in both the Old and New Testaments with the Holman Handbooks, brought to you by the Christian Standard Bible. I gotta tell you, I love these handbooks. They contain charts, maps, word studies, and more for each book of the Bible. They are some of my most used resources whenever I'm studying a passage. They intersect beauty, goodness, and truth, and they're designed to last a lifetime as a valuable resource for Bible study, teaching, and ongoing discipleship. They're available in two different cover options for each. Buy one, get one free at lifeway.com with the promo code HandbookBogo. Again, that is HandbookBogo on lifeway.com in order to get some of these Holman handbooks, HANDBOOKBOGO, HandbookBogo on lifeway.com for these Holman handbooks. They are fantastic resources. Family discipleship team, can I tell you my favorite episode of family discipleship this season?
Sure.
The Caroline Cobb episode.
Oh, she's so great.
It was so good.
Why?
That she did the song. I've always thought, oh, it'd be so cool to have somebody like perform a song on one of our podcasts. And when I heard you guys were doing that, I was like, oh man, that's going to be awesome. And it turned out so good and weaved into the episode so well. Like it was really, and kudos engineer Brad. I know that takes some like finagling and work, but like, honestly, that's an episode that I just felt like was like, it was not only just substantively good creatively, it was something we had never done before. And I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, and Caroline's so great. Yeah. While we're handing out kudos to people like Brad, I should say too, when you guys talk about brotherly and sisterly relationships in theology, I feel like that has been the strong point of this entire podcast family. I know that Elizabeth is doing a different platform where she does it solo, but that doesn't mean she's not part of this same family. But what sets the podcast that you guys have put together apart, I believe, as apart from most other podcasts, is that it's brothers and sisters. It's not just a married couple, although Chelsea and I are married to one another. It's men and women working together to speak through theology. I would say, though, that my favorite episode of Family Discipleship is also not quite out yet, but it'll probably be out by the time this drops. We just interviewed Zach Eswine gone through his divorce. He's remarried. He's got a kid who's 28, a kid now who's 4. And he's talking about the years that his oldest son or one of his sons rejected the Lord and ran from the Lord, and listening to his story of his just genuine heart for Christ as he parented through literally different seasons. And now in the last 4 years has started over again with almost a new generation to start over. It's really beautiful. And that was really powerful for me. Chelsea, Cassie, anything stick out to you guys?
Yeah, I was so ministered to by Zach Eswine in that moment that I was like, well, and I didn't want to fight that. I was like, I'll sit here and feel this more than being able to think of what to even say next, you know? And so I could barely get through my questions for him because I wanted to just sit there and like soak up what he was saying. And being in his presence was really special. It's fine to do stuff over like an online platform, but just being there with him and just feeling his... just how genuine he was in his love for the Lord and how deep his faith was super encouraging. But yeah, I've had fun on it. Was super fun having Caroline sing that song in our living room. I thought about it while it was happening. I was like, we've never really had like someone perform like this at our house. And so that was really sweet.
I really appreciate the education episode, the opportunity to get to record that as a resource for families. I know we'll be very helpful for like parents in our church and parents hopefully in Dallas, but even beyond that, because education is so important and it wasn't just chock full of like our opinions, but hopefully like helpful like steps for considering education and what you're going to do. And also just helping like shepherding them through the anxiety of making that decision. And then the Sissy Goff episode, which will launch Mother's Day weekend.
Mother's Day week.
It landed me in counseling. So... So there's that, you know,
that's how you know it's
exactly
good.
Well, it's just, I'm talking about an anxious presence, and Eric and I had this whole conversation about like, if we had to guess which one of us were the anxious presence, we would say Eric, but I'm the one who like cries when I burn breakfast. And then I see how my daughter responds when she makes a mistake. And I'm like, oh, she's learning that from me. So maybe I'm the anxious presence, which was like, okay, well, it's time to open some mail that's been stacking up in my heart, you know? Mm. So I went to the letter opener counselor. She's going to help me sort the mail.
There you go. That's a good analogy. I've never heard that before, but I'm going to
I like that extended analogy.
Yeah,
keep
going. Keep the mail?
Let's keep riffing on that.
Keep talking
raise
about
your
like
hand
when...
if you've got a pile of mail sitting somewhere in your house that needs to be opened.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I don't know.
Adam Griffin would never let that happen.
Oh, you guys. Well.
No. And my rule of thumb with bills that I get is I wait until I get it through the third time.
What are you talking about?
Crazy.
You know what? He is scarred by our
experience. Collection notices, Kyle.
With self-pay.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how you developed that love for fighting when we were self-pay?
Yeah, you're referencing a time at the Village on our healthcare policy. Yes, the audience might not know.
Yes, but where we all went cash pay, and Kyle loved to fight with the financial 100%. Collector people.
If it's a medical bill, I'm like, you're not hearing from me until you're ready to go to war. Are you ready? Because I'm prepared to bleed for this, and you will bleed.
That's crazy.
As a healthcare worker, I'd like you to know you're part of the problem.
I feel like the analogy took a turn.
I go through our family's mail and I pick out the fun stuff, like birthday cards, invitations, letters, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then I leave, like in the mailbox, I leave all the boring bills and things for my husband.
That's amazing.
Yes.
He loves
that's
it.
Amazing.
You won't even take him out of the mailbox and bring him in the house.
Why would I do that?
I'm not interested in that stuff. I love that. We've had the Knowing Faith team has talked a lot just about like the kind of encouraging experiences that we've had when we meet people kind of out in the wild, so to speak, out in public that are, that appreciate the show or have something encouraging, or they feel like the Lord's used the show that we host in some meaningful way. Have you ever had any like strange experiences with people recognizing you from the podcast, or people being like, oh, you talked about this on the show and I disagree? Anybody have any like, oh, that was, you don't have to name the person, give specifics where they would know that you're talking about them, but any unique experiences with people who've listened to the show that have come up to you?
I don't like to talk about the fact that we have a podcast. I feel like, I don't know, it feels weird. So anytime somebody brings up, you know, their podcast, or they want to ask, you know, everybody has a podcast now. So people just ask like, oh, are you on a podcast? That feels very strange to me. But the fact that everybody's out there, what really feels strange is if somebody feels like there's some association of celebrity with being on a podcast. That feels so weird to me. So if somebody, like more than once, somebody has come up to me and said, oh, I didn't know you were like a podcaster. Oh, it... To me, like, well, yeah, everyone is. Like, ask your grandma. She's got one.
Yeah. Podcasting is like the new MySpace. Like, literally anyone can do it, have one.
My brother has a podcast about Tottenham Hotspurs. It's called Stateside Spurs. I don't know if anyone listens to it, but they just talk about soccer. I'm just saying, you're right. Anyone can have
one. Is he paying you for this endorsement?
No. I don't even know if it's on the podcast, but I don't know where to find it.
Sure.
So I don't pay attention to soccer though. So maybe that's
got
why.
It.
Hey, if some of y'all could have a pod, I want to know if people here had a podcast about something like non-spiritual, just something else you really like to talk about.
What a great question. No, I mean, I've got,
Kyle would do WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's true. I've always wanted JT to start a cooking podcast called Deep Dish Discipleship. I thought it would be awesome. Just like do some tie-ins with the book, then do some pizza.
I just got an idea. That work.
I like that. I like that. I mean, no, that's a good question, Chelsea. I have endless podcast ideas. I wake up every morning with a new podcast idea.
I bet.
Every single day. I'm like, man, that'd be a fun podcast. That'd be a fun podcast.
Adam, you know what mine would be, right?
What is it?
We don't know.
Oh, secrets from the OBGYNs?
Oh, OBGY not? No, not that. No, I was thinking of...
such a good name.
No, I did. You're right. I did want to have a podcast where I shared wild stories of things that happened at work, but I was going to pretend they were all written in. Like, this is a story from, you know, someone, but still people in Dallas would know I was talking about them. But no, I would, if I had the energy, I would love to do a podcast about fast food and soda and just really just go off, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
You'd be great at
it. Do you have a favorite fast food establishment?
I'd say I'm pretty loyal to Pizza Hut, but a beef there is that they... Oh, really?
No.
Are they still open?
Because of me, they are.
Oh. Oh man, that was not
just the one right by their house. That's the only one left.
And the way I sorted the list, Pizza Hut would have been just above Long John Silver's in your potential responses.
Speaking of battered prawns,
is that where Rebecca got her prawns?
Yeah. That's Kyle. That comment I can tell just comes from an uninformed position. And if you knew everything that Pizza Hut had to offer, you'd be all over it. Their main flaw is that they serve Pepsi products. You can get a Dr. Pepper there, but you cannot get a Coca-Cola Classic there.
Okay.
Oh, man. I prefer Pepsi to Coca-Cola.
So, Kyle, do you remember when you and I had a podcast idea and we kind of floated it around and then it turned out that somebody else had already done it? It was an excellent podcast.
I don't remember this.
Was it talking about movies or something?
Wanted us to do a 24 episode.
That's my yes.
Yeah, he wanted us to do a 24 episode arc about 24. And then I said, man, let's do a whole thing where we like rewatch old shows and see if they still stand up. And then there's an incredible podcast called The Rewatchables where they basically have stars on and directors on and they do great work. So I was like, it was a great idea. And we are the wrong people to do it.
Turns out. But you really just undersold my 24 and 24 podcast. And I want the audience to hear this clearly. Yes. Idea is you would, me and a friend or me and a rotating group of other co-hosts would watch all 24 episodes of a season of 24 in 24 consecutive hours live, and we would record. And the further you get into a season of 24, the more like crazy it becomes and more irrational. And the commentary would mirror that by pure exhaustion. And it would be this.
How would they tell?
Oh, just because, you know, I'd be like getting more and more frenetic, you know, and I'd be like more and more frenzied.
I asked my question
There's
again.
More? There's more.
Okay, I see what you were doing there, Rebecca. You got me. Rebecca, if you had to launch a non-Christian, well, that sounds bad. Like a not spiritually based podcast, what would it be about?
I would so happily do a Lord of the Rings podcast.
My husband would listen to that.
Yeah, I'm such a Lord of the Rings.
What would you call it?
I love it.
Why didn't they cast me as Eowyn? Oh. No. No. I don't know what I call it.
How about Lord of the Rings through the eyes of women? You could talk about both characters.
Yeah, fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Yes, one day.
It's funny because it's true.
One pod to rule them all.
So good.
There it is. I was going to say it, but you spared me.
Yeah, I'm going to think about this a lot now. Elizabeth, if you had to launch a non-spiritual podcast about anything, what would it be?
I kind of don't know. I mean, I think I was trying to think while y'all were talking. It might be on just music. And so just a podcast on like hip-hop music and just listening with my friends and just why a song, like nostalgic stuff. So like songs from the 90s and like why this was really meaningful to us and that kind of stuff. So just, yeah. But
that would be a good one. That'd be a good one. Cassie, I'm just assuming it's food.
Oh, I was going to say like traveling with
kids. Oh, yeah. Okay. You've done that a lot.
Hmm. And on a budget.
Yeah, that's good.
Traveling that's good. With kids on a budget. That's a long title for a podcast, though.
It's perfect.
Well, guys, let's do this. Let's wrap it up this way. What's one thing that you feel like you've learned in being a part of this podcast network? Like what's one thing, like either on your show or in collaboration with other shows, what's one thing that you feel like you've learned just being somebody who's creating content that's kind of all with it, like from the Christian perspective, but like none of our shows are the same. We have different focuses and goals. So like, what has that been like either from your own show or just from creating content digitally for Christians at this kind of moment in the life of the global West or from this network more broadly?
I think what I've really enjoyed about our episodes on FDP is I wouldn't have doubted that lots of people are doing great things, but it has been really sweet and really encouraging to me to get to talk with different people from different sectors or industries, whatever, if they're in ministry or people who are counselors, musicians, whatever, and just hear about the things that they are doing with their family or hear about just the ways that they're advancing the kingdom of God through the work they're doing. And so we've just gotten to sit down with so many people doing just really special work that is impacting somebody and maybe not everybody, but everybody has a gift or a role in the kingdom of God. And it has just been super encouraging to my heart to sit down with people and hear what they're up to.
Love it.
I'm going to piggyback that and say that I've just grown in so much respect for the Griffins. And a lot of what I've learned through Family Discipleship Podcast is from them. And getting a window into their home has just been such a gift for me in parenting and in ministry. And while we worked together for years, we didn't sit and talk like specifically about how we were discipling our kids. And our kids were still really young. And so now to get that window into their home and to learn from them has been really cool.
Yeah. And I just to jump in on there and brag on my friend a little bit. Everybody has heard me talk at length about my dad, the influence he's had on me. And that's indisputable. My father is the most formative influence on me outside of the Lord, and particularly how I think about parenting. But I would say the second most influential person on me when it comes to fatherhood has been watching Adam Griffin's life, full stop. Mm-hmm. Watching Adam love and care and disciple those kids. That is, like, I worked for Adam. I saw how he handled his kid, how he shepherded his kids up close and personal. And then I was Adam's friend. I've seen it at his home. I've seen it at church. Mm-hmm. And so I can speak to that. I mean, yes, as a unit for Adam and Chelsea, but I love listening to Family Discipleship because I know that all three of you are actually doing the things you're talking about because I've seen it over years. And I think that's such a... A lot of times when you're thinking like, man, is this person just giving me good advice that's like not road tested? But like, that is not the case with the three of you. It is very road tested. And I learn a ton because I know that your lives back it up in terms of credibility.
Thanks.
That's kind.
That's very kind. I want to say real quick, one, to, just to tie the knot on our podcast and talk about other ones. I love getting to do ministry alongside my wife. There's not a lot of ways as a pastor in our stream where we're not co-pastoring the church in our stream, you know, but we are ministering alongside each other, and getting to do that together is really sweet. One of the things I've loved is people will send me episodes of y'all's podcasts and say, what do you think about this? Or when they said this, is that where our church lands? Or let's take an example, like when Knowing Faith did the episode on various beliefs on communion. And you guys did a great episode on that a few seasons ago. But just recently, somebody sent that one to me and said, hey, where are we on this like spectrum of beliefs? And I think Mason was on that episode with you guys. And you guys do such a good job of not only making it succinct, but making it accessible in what is a deep theological truth. And so I learn a lot from going back. It's almost like instead of reading a whole book, I can listen to an episode and be caught up on where our people are thinking and feeling and be led by you guys who are really expert theologians. But that's true about each podcast represented in this recording.
It's cool. Rebecca, what do you think, sis?
Gosh, I'm definitely not a perfectionist. I'm a sort of done is better than perfect kind of girl. But I think, Kyle, working with... I realize it's going to come out a little bit wrong, which isn't how I mean it. You've made the case a number of times to me that things that sort of feel like, oh, well, that came out wrong, or, wow, that whole episode, I feel like we didn't, you know, there's so much more that could be said, or it could have been said so much better, that actually... still it could be valuable. And then hearing that from, you know, individuals who I know who've listened to even that, you know, particular episodes, which I thought, gosh, you know, should we not have scratched that one? You and I chit-chatting about something and me feeling like I was, you know, not on my best day by any stretch and everything, you know, and I think, so I think one of the things I've learned is that sometimes just even talking through some of the basic features of an issue can be genuinely helpful to people. And I'm still trying to learn to not be overly responsive to the piece of me that says, well, that just, you know, that wasn't good enough. I think that's been part of the learning process. Yeah. That in some ways the medium of the podcast is such that actually people aren't expecting perfect. Yeah. They're expecting helpful. And if we can deliver helpful, then that's
right.
Helpful.
JT, Jen.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I like that all of these podcasts, and including the one that we'll be adding in the fall, they're doing something constructive. Mm. Like I think about my mom when I was little, you know, and she'd be like, I'm bored. And she'd say, well, go do something constructive. And I'm like, Mom, I did it. I'm doing some constructive things. Like we're building that's towards right. something. We're not just tearing things down or debriefing. We're building towards something. And I love that. I want to give time
really
to
good.
That.
That's really good. I wish I would have gone first. No, I like looking at this screen is like and seeing all of your faces and kind of how God has like intertwined our stories. Some of those in like deep ways, some of those like Rebecca kind of coming along speaking at churches, but like Adam and I have been in like meetings together for years when we worked at a church together, and Cassie and I like on this call yeah. is like I hope this comes out the right way. We are just very average, regular people who just worked mm-hmm. at a church together, or God has overlapped our ministries in some ways. And what I'm blown away by as I listen to Starting Place with Elizabeth, like I remember interviewing Elizabeth at Starbucks and like, I've been now seeing the wisdom that comes out of our sister, or I mean like, and I would say that about each of us of like, we are just very average, regular Christians trying to minister the gospel, making decisions about what time should a church service be, or what are we going to do in kids ministry, or just kind of the normal mundaneness of life, but how God has just, he gives his church wisdom. And that's not just true of the people on this call. That's true of everybody listening to this call. If you've been given the Holy Spirit, maybe tagging on what Jen said, you now have the ability to construct and use your gifts in ways that benefit and edify the church that you're a part of, the ministry that you're a part of. And so just looking at this, I just think like, man, we've done a lot of mundane things together and now get to be a part of what God's building is just a sweet thing. And I'm so proud cool. of each of you.
I love that. Elizabeth, wrap us up.
Thanks, Dad.
And I think I would tag on the back of what JT said in just a group of ordinary people who love the Lord who are sharing from the overflow of their mm-hmm. faith. And so my podcast is a little different that I interview someone new every week. And we ask technical questions on the front end, but I really do want to see how is you as an ordinary person? Are you just loving and following the Lord? And that people, every week we talk about the gospel and every week the guest talks about how the gospel is true through their individual own perspective as we see aligned with the truth of scripture. And that's just really encouraging and really fresh that it's not something, it doesn't have to be this fantastical thing every week, but just ordinary people who love the Lord and showing our listeners that that's the same boat that they're in too. And they were kind of journeying mm-hmm. together. And that's just been really fun for me to see and be rejuvenated in my faith every week just by hearing other people share about their
I love that. I'm going to put him on the spot one last time. Engineer Brad, what do you feel like you've learned helping? I mean, you've probably nobody has listened to as many training. You've listened to every Training the Church podcast that has ever come out. That's probably not true of any one of the rest of us. What have you kind of learned in this process?
Yeah. I mean, I think what I would echo everything you guys have said, but I love each of you guys. I love working with you guys. And then I actually love being your friend. And so what I love to see, what's been really helpful for me is you guys are not only reachable, you know, I can call or text or email any of you guys and you'll get back to me relatively quick. but you're the same people on this show as you are off the show. And so, yeah, it's just really helpful that you know, kind of like what you're saying, JT, like you guys are just normal people. And as someone who's kind of like a behind the scenes, you know, was in the production world for a long time, and now I'm doing this full-time podcasting thing. That's a super encouraging thing. There's not a lot of people that are approachable, that are kind of just feel like normal people that are also on a stage from time to time and, you know, have an impact the size that you guys do. So yeah, I love just kind of being a part of the work that you're doing. And even if that's just, you know, taking out breaths and shortening pauses and editing from time to time, I'm just happy to be on the team. I love working with you guys.
Well, Brad, we love working with you. Honestly, let me just puff up Brad real quick. He's always behind the scenes. None of our ships would sail without engineer Brad. And Brad actually just launched a company called The Good Podcast Company, and you should go check it out with people that we trust doing good work over there. Brad has not asked me to endorse that or promote that at all, but Brad has only done excellent work for us. And so if you're somebody in the podcast space and you want to go check out what they're doing, you should go check it out because Brad and his team are really great to work with, and you should go give them a look, especially if you want to make my podcast. Train the Church in the last month, guys, had over 380,000 downloads, the podcast on our network. That's incredible. Wow. That's the last 30 days. So it's incredible to see what started as one podcast from one church is now multiple podcasts across multiple churches, across different states, reaching an audience that we didn't anticipate to reach. And the goal is not that number. The goal was has never been how many thousands of downloads can we get? How many people can we get? It was to have a meaningful impact. But that number is a depiction of the quality of the work that you guys have done and the excellence of that and just the fun that we're having and getting to do it together. And so I hope, listen, if you're a listener to one of our shows, I just want you to hear, we're grateful for you. We're grateful that you act in the comment section with civility and charity. We hope that we're modeling that on the shows that we're hosting. That's our, we just want to name it again. That's our expectation of our audience. The rest of the internet's audience can behave however they want, but we expect our audience to behave with curiosity, charity, conviction, and civility. And we're going to keep that going. Even if every other ship in this little sea burns down, we're going to be the last one.
That was dark.
It was. Yeah. This is my Braveheart speech. We're going to be the last little house of charity, civility, conviction, and curiosity. If every one of them is gone, we're going to be those people.
Maybe not. Maybe there'll be a whole fleet,
I hope
Kyle.
They will be. May you know, our tribe increase.
Let's believe it. Let's say it in the name of the Lord.
Let's believe it. Listen, hey, everybody, thanks for jumping on. I appreciate it. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Bye, everybody.
Love you, buddy.
All right. If you want to find Knowing Faith, Starting Place, Confronting Christianity, or Family Discipleship, you can find us online. Specifically on Instagram would be a good place to go check us out. In the fall, we are launching our fifth show, which is Tiny Theologians with Amy Gannett. We're super excited. You should go check out tinytheologians.com and the work they've already been doing over there. And the show is going to be so unique and creative. You are not going to want to miss it. I promise you. It is a podcast that is aimed at teaching the deep truths of God to the minds of young kiddos. And I listened to the pilot episode and it is awesome. So do not miss it out. You can leave any of our podcasts a review, drop a question in your review on Apple Podcasts, and we'd be happy to consider it for future episodes or explore it in one of our regular season episodes. If you want to find out more about how we make these podcasts or just support that work, you can go to trainingthechurch.com/support. And that helps us continue to create what we think are meaningful things for meaningful conversations. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. The discussion, grace, and peace.